Well, again, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. You know, every week we do have people who are watching online, and people will fill out Connect cards who are watching us online. If they go to the website, if they're watching on Facebook, we don't get them. But, you know, I just want to say thank you to all those folks who are watching us online as well. You know, last week I had talked about some important pet advice, if you remember the hot dog joke. But this week I heard some equally important information about a pet emergency. It turned out, I was reading this story, and it turned out this dog had eaten an entire bag of Scrabble tiles, and he's at the vet right now. No word yet. But I'm afraid it could spell disaster. I apologize. I see these things, and Jan's not there when I'm writing the messages, say, Chris, don't do that. Don't put those in. But you know, over the last couple weeks, we have been talking about this idea that how we live out our faith, right, what we believe and how we act really does matter, because we're living out our faith in front of a watching world, that people are looking towards us, or looking at us, and how we live and how we live our faith really does matter. And we might cynically think about that, and we've all heard people talk like this, that the world is watching us, waiting to see if we mess up. It's a common critique of the world, or of the church, from the world today, that people outside of the church will point at us and say, they'll say things like, look at all those hypocrites. Look at all those so-called do-gooders. But I think the truth is really much more important. I think they're watching us to see if what we believe is real. They're watching to see if what we believe makes a difference in our lives. I mean, how does somebody with cancer praise God? How does the person who's going through an incredibly difficult time not just still come to church, but continue to give thanks to God throughout that difficult time? I mean, what we have in Jesus is a mystery to the world. And they want to know whether it's true or not, because they go through the same exact things, and when they go through those things, their lives fall apart. In our scripture this morning, it talks about the priority of living our lives in sync with the position we hold. Right? It's clear to the world, and it's clear to other believers, that we are affected by how we live. And so sin impacts our lives in ways that we cannot fathom. And therefore, we need to own up to our sin and allow God to cleanse us from that sin. So let's read our scripture this morning from 1 John 1:5 through 2:2. And this is the message that we have heard from him and announce it to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. If we claim we have fellowship with him and we live in the darkness, we are lying and do not act truthfully. But if we live in the light the same way that he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Now, if we claim we do not have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from everything we have done wrong. If we claim we've never sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you don't sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is God's way of dealing with our sins, not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So John starts off this message by saying that this is something we have heard from Jesus, that this is a claim to authority, that John is not making this up, that these are not John's personal opinions or personal views about God. This is God's message about himself, right? This is what we have heard from him, and now that we are declaring it to you. And what John tells us about God is what God has told us about himself. You know, we cannot be confident in our own opinions or our own ideas about God unless they are genuinely founded upon what God says about himself. And so John starts off and he says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so we must begin our understanding of God right here. You know, John declares this on this simple understanding that God himself is light. And light, by its very definition, has no darkness. And for there to be no darkness, or for there to be darkness, there has to be an absence of light. You know, John says, if we claim that we have fellowship with him and then live in the darkness, we are lying and we don't act truthfully. And this is why it's so damaging for us, the people of God, to live in ways that don't match up with God's will. If we say that we are part of God's family, if we say that we are saved, if we say that we know who Jesus is, and yet choose to live in unrepentant sin, what we say we believe and how we behave don't match up. It's allowing the darkness to gain a foothold in our lives. I mean, really, literally, it's like cheering for the Steelers while wearing a Browns jersey. The two just don't go together. It doesn't make any sense. Now, John sees things a lot clearer than our sophisticated age does. You know, in our world today, we don't like to see things in black and white. We don't like absolutes. Everything is a shade of gray. The modern world often sees things as in terms of my truth, as if our truth is some individualistic sense. John is focused upon God's idea of truth, ultimate truth, absolute truth. And John says, if we live in the light, he's saying that this type of life is possible, even preferable than what the type of the world life that this world is offering. Now, the word that is used here is live in the Common English Bible is peripateo, and it means to walk. And a lot of our versions will actually use that word. They'll say to walk. Now, walking is an action, but it can also mean a belief. And so what John is saying here is that if we live or walk, if we believe and behave in the light, in the same way that Jesus believed and behaved in the light, we can have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from every sin. You know, the Christian life is often called a walk. And I know, remember in college, we often would say that to each other. Well, how's your walk today? How's your walk with Jesus? You know, the Christian life, it feeds on contemplation. It feeds on us reading and studying God's word, but it displays itself in action. Because walking implies action, continuity, and progress. And since God is active in walking, if you're going to have fellowship with him, you also need to be active and walking. And so let's pause for a moment right there. Because it might almost seem as if John is saying that we cannot have any sin in our lives. That light and dark are complete opposites. And that's why it can be confusing then when John says, if we claim we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and his truth is not in us. How do we reconcile that we have to be in the dark and not, or we have to be in the light and not in the dark, and that the light and the dark cannot coexist. It's a good question to ask, and because I think a lot of people will say things like, well, I make mistakes, or I'm only human, or I'm not perfect. And we say these things to excuse or defend ourselves. And I think this is different than us knowing and admitting that I'm a sinner. I have fallen short of God's grace and God's glory. I am a sinner. Right? To say that we have no sin puts us in a dangerous place, because God's mercy and God's grace is extended to sinners. It's not extended to those people who make mistakes, to those people who are only human, or to all those no one is perfect. But God's grace and God's mercy is extended to sinners. And we need to recognize that our victory and our forgiveness comes from saying, I am a sinner, even a great sinner, but I have a Savior that cleanses me from all my sin. Now here again this verse and the verse that follows it. It says, if we claim we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from everything that we have done wrong. You know, the confession of sin is a necessary consequence of walking in the light. An early church father, St. Augustine of Hippo, said, if thou shalt confess thyself a sinner, the truth is in thee, for the truth is itself light. Not yet has thy life become perfectly light, as sin are still in thee, but yet thou hast already begun to become illuminated, because there is in thee confession of sins. I love this in the sense that, you know, one of the hymns we just sang was an old hymn. It was written in the 1800s, 1865, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Augustine wrote this at about 380 A.D. A lot further back. You know, to confess is to simply say to God, you're right, and God, I'm wrong. When we confess our sins, we're willing to say and believe the same thing that God says about our sin and believe it. In Jesus' words from Luke chapter 18, where he shares about the religious man and the sinner who go to the temple to pray. The Pharisee went and he bragged about how righteous he was, and while the sinner, the tax collector, simply said, God, be merciful to me. And Jesus said, the one who confessed his sin was the one who agreed with God how bad he was. You know, confession is vital to maintain our relationship with God, and this is the context through which John speaks from. God convicts us of sin that is hindering our relationship with us, with him. And therefore, we must confess it and receive cleansing and forgiveness for our relationship with God to continue on unhindered. And then as we round out this passage and we move into the first verses of chapter 2, John says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you don't sin. And just as 1 John 1:8 made it clear that sin is a fact of life in the life of a Christian, John 1 John 1:9 says that there is always forgiveness for confessed sin. John also wants to make it clear that Christians should be concerned about sin. And we have all the power and all the spiritual resources for victory in Jesus Christ, and that these resources are never withdrawn from us. You know, God's desire is that we would not sin, yet if we do, John says there is an advocate, there's a defense lawyer on our side. And our advocate is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the one who voluntarily steps in and personally urges the judge to decide in our favor. This is why John reminds us, he says, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is God's way of dealing with our sins, not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. You know, church, the message that John is sharing with us is a call for us to walk in the light of God's truth. Because what we believe and how we behave matters. Because the world is watching us. But we also need to approach this understanding that we are not perfect. We need Jesus. And so we embrace transparency and we live our lives as examples of what God's power can do in us. And then as we confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness, we experience the transforming power of his grace, which restores fellowship with him. And so let us remember that he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. May we continually seek after his light, walk in his ways, and reflect his love and truth to the world around us. Because through Jesus, our advocate and our atonement is found. In him we find redemption and eternal life, and his love and grace empowers us to live as children of the light, shining brightly in a world that is desperately in need of seeing his light and his salvation. Remember that our lives may be the only Bible somebody sees this week. That how we live out our faith may be the only message of God that someone experiences this month. That the world is watching us, and our God has called us to this moment for this reason. Now, here I am, dear God, please use me. Use me as you see fit. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for your love and your presence in our lives today. We are grateful, dear God, that you have given us all the power and the ability to walk righteously after you. But Lord, you also provide a way for us to ask for forgiveness and to receive redemption and cleansing. Thank you, Lord, that as a forgiven people, we can enter into this world as your forgiveness. Now, here we are, dear God. Please use us and use us as you see fit. Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Gracious God, we are humbled. We are rightfully humbled when we consider the position we have. And because Jesus died for us, that when you view us through the blood of your Son. And so our position is that we are children, we are heirs. And so, Lord, help us to live this call in such a way that we bring glory to you, that your name, Jesus, would be lifted up, and that when people hear the name of Jesus, what they hear is love and hope and peace. Longing, restoration. Lord, remind us that we are doing this in front of a watching world, and that how we live truly does matter. Help us that when we leave this space, we recognize that we are your missionaries, that we are your ambassadors, that we are emissaries of the light. And so help us help our lives to shine brightly for you. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.